Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Do remember, you can also contact us via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. This morning, as I was reading the newspapers, I came across an opinion piece that touched me deeply. And I wanted to share that opinion piece, at least in part, with you in the next few moments right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The piece is titled, Ex-Abortionist, How I Became Pro-Life. It's in very, very large letters. Again, it's in the opinion section of USA Today. The article is written by Dr. Kathy Altman, and she is an associate scholar with the Charlotte Lozier Institute, a member of the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. And she writes this. It's very, very moving. She says, and this is how the article starts out, "I've killed more people than Ted Bundy. Coming to terms with that fact, the fact that I was a professional mass murderer, was devastating. But it compelled me to speak the truth. I began my medical career believing that women must have total control over our bodies and that it's unethical to bring unwanted children into an overpopulated world. During my residency in Florida, I asked to learn how I could perform second trimester dismemberment abortions. When faced with my own unwanted pregnancy, before entering medical school, I chose abortion. Abortions, I discovered, can be very, very profitable. When I got my medical license, I moonlighted as an abortionist on weekends, making more money than I could have made working in the emergency room. I even performed abortions while I myself was pregnant." And then she writes, "There were three patients that changed my professional trajectory. The first was when I was preparing to perform an abortion and realized I had already performed three on this person in the past. I protested only to be told by my boss that I had no right to deny it to this patient. Easy for you to say, you're not the one doing the killing," I snapped. "I did the killing, but my response startled me. The second patient was a young woman who was there with a friend who asked whether she wanted to see the tissue. When I was done, the patient replied angrily that no, she just wanted to kill it. What did this baby ever do to you?" I wondered. I don't think I had ever thought of them as babies before. But it was the mother of four who felt she just couldn't manage another child who brought me to tears. She wept before, during, and after the procedure. It was the grief of a woman who knew the moral gravity of what she was doing and ended, as a result of her grief, ended my abortion career. I stopped doing abortions, but I remained pro-choice. Over time, however, I saw in my OBGYN practice young girls flourish who had not chosen to abort, and older, more educated patients who had aborted and struggled psychologically. Gradually, I began to see the feminist narrative that abortion empowers women as increasingly flimsy. Ultimately, I could not shake the realization that the only thing that decided the fate of the baby was whether he or she was wanted or not. The former was born, the latter was killed. The life or death of a human being should not be so arbitrarily decided. And so, says Kathy Altman, I became pro-life. Well, this is a long article, and I just read a few sections of the article, but extremely moving. And I was very, very delighted that USA Today decided to publish this article in bold text. It was also interesting that today I read a townhall.com radio commentary by Owen Strachan. And he writes, "For you form my inward parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb." Those words, familiar to many, come from Psalm 139. In poetic language, we learn that the Creator gives life to every person. Our personhood does not awake at our birth. A child in the womb is a child. Yet since Roe v. Wade made abortion legal in 1973, Americans have broadly rejected this vision. We have embraced abortion and have killed well over 60 million babies in the womb. Truly, the blood of our children cries out from the earth. Thankfully, in our time, we are seeing major pro-life gains. Several pro-life Supreme Court justices have been appointed, and younger generations pull strongly pro-life. Whether you're motivated by religious conviction or common recognition of human dignity, let us keep fighting for life. Why? Because nothing is more precious than a baby. Having had recently two more grandchildren brought into our family, I can echo that remark. Truly, nothing more precious. It is important to make a distinction between pro-life and pro-choice, which is, in reality, pro-murder. Why? Because, as Dr. Kathy Altman makes plain, abortion is the painful killing of an innocent human being. As I've said many times, it's painful in that the methods employed to kill a preborn baby boy or preborn baby girl involve burning and smothering, dismembering and crushing. It's killing. It's killing in that the preborn child fulfills the criteria which establish biological life, metabolism, development, the ability to react to stimuli, cell reproduction, and the like. It's the painful killing of an innocent human being in that the baby is the product of human parents and has a totally distinct human genetic code. Far from deserving capital punishment, or as Dr. Kathy Altman put it, mass murder, these innocent human beings deserve care. They deserve protection. They may not have a fully developed personality, but they do have full personhood from the moment that they are conceived. Dr. Jaime Gordon, a professor of genetics, said it well many, many years ago. This is something that I hope gets caught in your memory, Trace. He said, "I think we can now also say that the question of the beginning of life, when life begins, is no longer a question for theological or philosophical dispute. It's an established scientific fact. Theologians and philosophers may go on to debate the meaning of life or the purpose of life, but it is an established fact that all life, including human life, begins at the moment of conception. Since science has demonstrated that a preborn child is human, And since all human beings have transcendent value, it follows that taking the life of an innocent human being through abortion ought to become unthinkable, particularly in the progressive West. We're coming to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And my deepest appreciation to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. When we're talking about life, we're talking about a life that matters more. We're talking about a life that is life to the full that we can experience in this life, not only in the life that is to come. Back in a moment with answers to your questions.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Because questions remain about the earliest moments of the universe, scientists offer speculative alternatives to our universe having an actual beginning. Nevertheless, the science that is known to be true provides abundant evidence that the universe came into being a finite time ago, just as the Bible teaches. Other topics include how Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers, Christian apologetics in a nutshell, John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth Preacher, Christian imagination and the problem of horrendous evil, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Deacon George in Houston, Texas. Hi, Deacon George.
Yes. Hello, Hank. It is an absolute honor and pleasure to meet you. I've never had a chance to meet you before. I hope you're well.
I'm doing great, and it's wonderful to talk to you.
My question is with regard to Francis Chan and his talks about the real presence of the Eucharist. I know that you have interviewed him twice on your show. Have you since the Bible, or I guess recently, have you been in any dialogue with Francis?
Well, I have, and you know, Francis is a good friend, and so you know, good friends talk. He is the absolute real deal. I admire him in so many different ways. He is someone that I have the greatest respect and admiration for.
He seems just a wonderful man, and I would love to meet him at some point. But I'm pleased to hear that, and I won't keep you. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Alberto in Savannah, Georgia. Hi, Alberto.
Good evening, Mr. Hank Hanegraaff.
Hi, good evening.
Yes, my question is, a lot of Christians teach that human beings have free will. So if that was so, how come the Bible says that God said our destiny is either heaven or hell? So if I have a free will, why God give me the free will to choose to cease to exist or to spend the rest of eternity in a planet by myself? So apparently God's going to give me two options instead of free will to choose where I want to spend eternity at. So my free will is limited based on the destiny God set for the human race.
That's absolutely right, actually.
You don't have free will then, apparently.
Well, no, it doesn't negate free will. But, you know, even God cannot do those things which are against nature. So, for example, God cannot create a four-sided triangle. He cannot create a squared circle because this goes against nature itself. God can do anything that's logically possible, but God cannot do anything. This, of course, does not mean in any way that we made in the imago Dei, in the image and likeness of God, abdicate our free will because there are things that we cannot do by nature or things that are simply impossible to do by virtue of how God constructed us. So, for example, with respect to what you bring up in terms of ceasing to exist, well, God created us in such a way that we cannot cease to exist. We're body-soul unities. When the body dies, the soul continues to exist in the abode of the dead, known in the Old Testament as Sheol and the New Testament as Hades. And then at the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the body itself that has died will be resurrected, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. So we will never cease to exist because we were created for eternity. We do have a beginning in time, so we didn't eternally exist. We came into existence at a moment in time, but we will never cease to exist, because that is how God created this world and the creatures that inhabit it.
Okay. So apparently, so God predetermined my existence to exist for all eternity, so I have no say-so on that.
Well, you have a say-so. You have robust libertarian freedom. You have the ability to act or to act otherwise. You have the ability to respond to what God has given to you in terms of light, or to reject that light. If you look at the heavens which declare the glory of God, if you see God's eternal power and his divine nature being understood through what has been made, you have the ability to reject that light or to respond to that light. And if you respond to that light, you will receive more light. You also have been given a conscience. And that conscience can either extol the virtues of God or deny the virtues of God. That is your libertarian freedom, which is given to you by Almighty God. So your choices really do matter. But in terms of ceasing to exist, no, that is not a possibility because of the very way in which God created you. You can't go against natural law. If you saw off the limb on which you're sitting, you're going to fall, again, because of natural law. That does not inhibit or infringe on free will. It simply codifies the reality in which you exist.
Mm-hmm. So if I want to spend all eternity in a planet by myself, God doesn't give me the free option to choose either. So I have to spend it with him or the lake of fire, correct?
Well, yes, you can either spend eternity with the one who created you in his image, or you can choose to be separated from him. And that choice makes all the difference in the world. C.S. Lewis talked about such choice. He talked about the fact that we could have been created in such a way that we have no choice whatsoever. But God designed not to create us in that way. So God could have created you in such a way that you had to choose him. Well, if that were the case, heaven wouldn't be heaven. Heaven would be hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment worse than hell. Why? Because they don't want God. So God gives you the opportunity to either live in union with him or live apart from him. That is a very real, a very poignant choice that you are given by Almighty God.
All right. Thank you, sir. God bless you and keep up the great work.
Well, thank you so much for your call. And C.S. Lewis has talked about this in a number of different places. But the bottom line of all of this is that we have been given choice. C.S. Lewis said that he would pay any price to be able to say truthfully that all will be saved. But then he went on to say, my reason retorts, without their will or with their will. If I say without their will, I at once perceive a contradiction. How can the supreme voluntary act of self-surrender be involuntary? And if I say with their will, well, then I got a problem with my reason, because reason will reply in your head, how? If you will not give in. And thus there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God in the end says, thy will be done. All that are in hell because they choose it. And without that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek find, to those who knock, the door will be opened. It is my prayer, Alberto, that you are knocking, that the door will be opened, that you will experience the most incredible experience imaginable, and that is fellowship in the Holy Trinity, union with God, the very thing for which you and I are created. Out of time for this week's editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and my sincere thank you to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, and of course we have a fantastic resource available to you when you do. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers. Counter to our intuitions, Dante depicts sinners as eager to enter the inferno, for hell promises to give them exactly what they want, their sin and themselves forever. Other topics include, did the universe really have a beginning? Christian apologetics in a nutshell, Christianity and the origins of hospitals and modern medicine, the indomitable human spirit of Philip K. Dick, why arguments over fetal pain capability ultimately miss the mark in the abortion debate, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.